Christmas is a chief indicator, a symptom, an expression of our heart being right and healthy. The first of these is this: thankfulness is a work of the Holy Spirit in the heart. The passage we just read in Romans 1 talks about how in our natural, fallen, sinful state, we were thankless people. We did not appreciate the blessings, the gifts that we were enjoying by the mercy and the grace of God. And so, you know, we can think of the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, what the Holy Spirit produces in God's people, is love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, goodness, long-suffering, self-control, depending on your translation. It doesn't specifically list thankfulness, but thankfulness is not native to us in our fallen condition. It is something that is brought there, produced there by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so thankfulness is a very important indication that we've been born again, that the Holy Spirit of God has taken residence within us and is beginning to do his transforming work. Ephesians 5, 18 and 20 says, "Be filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord." Those of us that can sing can do it out loud as well. But hey, I remember listening to my kids play piano. We got an electronic one so they could plug the headphones in. All right, so we wouldn't have to listen to four kids do 45 minutes of practicing a day, every day. But the Lord seems to be pleased with a joyful noise, so I don't think there's any offense to be taken that he wants us to do it in our hearts, okay? I'm being facetious. Always giving thanks over all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. So there's the testimony that to be filled with the Spirit is going to be indicated by our being thankful people. Thankfulness that just transcends what we're going through. It transcends our circumstances, the ups and downs, for richer, poorer, better, worse, sickness and in health. Being filled with the Spirit is going to be indicated by our being thankful people to the Lord. Thankfulness is not episodes of feeling appreciation for some kindness that we've received. It's not episodes of expressing appreciation for kindnesses received. True thankfulness is a settled conviction that we are lavishly and undeservedly blessed people, blessed by God. It is the opposite of a sense of entitlement or deservedness. And that we're so susceptible to that sense of entitlement, aren't we? When I start to get angry because something isn't going my way, isn't the way it's supposed to be, I can know just by definition that I'm drifting into that sense of entitlement. I deserve better. I'm owed more. This isn't doing me right. But when we're thankful people, truly thankful people in the heart, no matter what we're going through, we know we are undeserving, but we are richly blessed. And that there is good. God is dealing with us in goodness in every situation. What's happening to us may not be good, but what God is doing there is good. Michael Ramsey said, "Thankfulness is a soil in which pride does not easily grow." Thankfulness is a soil in which pride does not easily go. Secondly, thankfulness admits our true ill-deservedness. The Bible makes very, very clear what we deserve. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is what? That's what we deserve. We are all sinners. The young people, the youth group, is going through the Minor Prophets on Sunday mornings, those last 12 books of the Old Testament. Say them with me. Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. Wow, I'm impressed. But predominant in those books, and so I'll ask the young people when we gather on Sunday mornings, what did you read? What did you notice? Judgment. Judgment. Week after week. Judgment. There's a lot of judgment going on in those books. God is warning people. You still have time to repent. You still have time to turn from what is going to bring my justice being outpoured. But the other thing, I said, how are we supposed to respond to all this judgment? Well, firstly, we are to read it and recognize, I deserve that. There but for the grace of God is where I am. All this horrible outpouring of wrath and justice, I deserve that. That's truly who I am. God sees me. I'm deceived. I'm self-deluded. I've got blind spots. I don't see myself as deserving that. That seems extreme and harsh to me. But the truth of who I am and how spiritually sinful I am in my fallenness is shown by the severity of the judgment that God promises. But the second thing for those of us who are believers in Christ is we need to read that judgment and we need to remember, this is what Jesus took for me. The horrors of judgment that these prophets are describing was poured out on Jesus on the cross. That was mine. That's what I deserve. But the Father poured that judgment on the Son. And all that threatening will be poured out on those who refuse Christ at the end. But for those of us who trust in Jesus, who belong to Him, He took the outpouring of that judgment. And that should remind us not only of our ill-deservedness, but it should remind us of the greatness of His love, His mercy, and His grace toward us. But when we are thankful people, again, we don't have that sense of entitlement. But we recognize, man, these good gifts. You know, most of us will go around the table at our Thanksgiving feast and we'll take turns saying what we're thankful for. And every one of those good gifts is something that not only do we not deserve, but we deserve the opposite. In our sinfulness, in our turning our backs on God, in our defiance of God, we are ill-deserving, not just undeserving, we are ill-deserving of the gifts that God pours out upon us. And thankfulness reminds us of that and should just cause to well up within us this unbelievable exuberance for how good we have it, though we deserve the opposite. Thirdly, thanksgiving confesses the goodness and grace of God. And so Psalm 107:1 says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His steadfast love endures forever." And when we are thankful people, we are saying, God, You are good. The way You are dealing with me, how You are disposing Yourself toward me, how You are leading Your providence in my life is good. What You are doing is good. It's the opposite of when we murmur and complain. You are not good, God. What You are doing is not good. Now, we need to understand that He'll lead us through painful circumstances. He will lead us through evil. We cannot read the stories in the Bible. We cannot read what happened to Jesus and deny that God is going to lead us through genuine evil. But God's purposes are good. His intentions in leading us that way are good. And by His wisdom and His power, He guarantees, I'm going to bring good about. One of our extended family members this week went through a four-year Christian college, married a young man from that Christian college. Her parents are missionaries working with orphans. And this week she came out on Facebook and said that she's questioning the whole thing. And she's questioning whether she believes in God. She's questioning whether she believes the Bible anymore. Why? Because she's struggling with being able to see the goodness of God in all the evil. And so it's the problem of evil. All the evil and suffering that she sees in the world. And she's just struggling to believe that God is good. Now, brothers and sisters, there is real evil. Make no mistake about it. God hates evil. He promises He's going to judge evil. It will be made right. But we don't know what is good about a story until we see the end of the story. It's the end of the story that determines whether something is good or not. You women that are giving birth, middle of hard labor, does it feel good? I'm going to kill you! How could you do this to me? when you're holding that precious little life, is good. Is good. So thankfulness acknowledges the goodness, undeserved goodness of God toward us. You are good, God. Number four, thankfulness expresses trust in the sovereignty, the wisdom, and the benevolence of God. And so 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Again, it's not saying that all these circumstances are good in and of themselves, but it's saying that we can and should be giving thanks in all circumstances because God says, "I'm going to work them together for your good." Give thanks in all your trials, knowing that I'm building endurance in you so that you can hang in there, so I can keep working, transforming you, molding you into the likeness of Jesus. So when we are thankful, we say, "God, you are sovereign. You're in control. God, you are wise. You know what you're doing. And God, you are good. And you are going to work these circumstances together for me. I trust you. I don't like where I'm at. There is evil here. But you are sovereign. You are wise. You are good." Number five, thankfulness reflects our aligning with right valuation of things, which is to say God's valuation. Again, thankfulness is a work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. And as the Holy Spirit installs the Thanksgiving package in our hearts, it includes acknowledging what is good as good. And it includes growing to understand God's priorities. This is good, but this is better. This is best. This is supreme. So thankfulness helps align us with what really matters. It puts us in a process of acknowledging God's value system, recognizing how much we've been lavished again. So James 1:17 says, "Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights." You probably heard in the news that there was a new record set in the art world. A reputed Leonardo da Vinci original painting, El Salvador Mundi, the Savior of the World, brought in $450 million. Now, scholars aren't even in consensus that this is an actual da Vinci painting, but enough of them are that, okay. And it was severely damaged, and it needed so much restoration that some have questioned whether we can even call it a da Vinci anymore. But $450 million. And the previous record for a painting was $140 million. For a sculpture was $200 and some million. And all of a sudden, this thing brings in $450 million. Now, I don't know about you, but in this world, in all the things that $450 million could do, is owning a painting that can easily be duplicated, lithographed, whatever you do with paintings and creating prints, is owning an original worth $450 million. In thankfulness, God begins to help us see more and more and align with what matters to Him. Our priorities, our values are being adjusted in thankfulness to His. Number six, thankfulness sees the loving giver and loves Him above all. By definition, when we receive a gift from God and, "Oh, this is good. Wow." And then we lift our eyes from the gift. "Thank you, Lord." By definition, we're seeing the giver as greater than the gift. I hope Darylyn appreciates me more than the roses I buy her, or the dinner I take her to, or the pistachios. That's kind of our little thing, is pistachios. I hope she appreciates me, that all of those things just cause her to lift her eyes above them to me and say, "Oh, you're pretty special." And that's what God's gifts, that's what the proper response to God's gifts is intended to do, is we lift our eye. "Oh, this is so, thank you for my wonderful spouse. Thank you for my family, my loving family. Thank you for a warm place in the cold. Thank you for the delights of food and drink, and thank you for the pleasurable activities, that you, all these good things, but we lift our eyes and we say, oh, far greater than these things is the one giving them. And we may enjoy these, but we love him. We love him supremely overall. And then the verse on this one, Exodus 33, verse 3 and 15. The Israelites have just, Moses has gone up Mount Sinai. God has given him the Ten Commandments. Before he can even get down the mountain, he hears the Israelites worshiping this golden calf that they created. He throws the tablets of stone down. It's a covenant between Israel and God. It's broken already, so he throws it down. And things have to be straightened out. But then God tells Moses, okay, Moses, you get the Israelites ready to go. I'm going to lead them into the promised land. I'm going to send my angel to prepare the way to overcome their enemies, but I'm not going with you. Verse 3 says, go up to the land flowing with milk and honey, but I will not go with you. Then Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. Moses says, no deal. You can give us paradise, but if you're not there, it's empty. It's meaningless. If you don't go with us, we don't want to go. And that really, when we get it, when we see the truth, our attitude is, God, you are what our souls delight in. You are alone are what will satisfy our souls. All these wonderful gifts you lavish are merely expressions of who you are. And we would be foolish if we just wrapped ourselves up in loving these things and forgot about you. It would be empty. If you don't go with us, don't give us the gifts, they'll be empty, they'll be hollow. And then number 7, thankfulness frees, empowers, secures us to give all to Christ. When we see how good we have it, when we see how secure we are in Christ, the favor of God, the promises of God to us, we become freed and empowered and secure to use and to give what we have for the service of Christ. And so Matthew 6:19 says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in or steal. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Thanksgiving is vital to us being able to just surrender everything we are and have to Jesus. We don't have to hoard what we have because of how lavish the favor and blessing of God is upon us. So with these 7 components of thankfulness indicating the health and expressing the health of our heart, we want to jumpstart our Thanksgiving celebration this week by moving through one of the Psalms that emphasizes thankfulness together. Let's go ahead and put up Psalm 107. And this is a longer psalm. It's 43 verses, but it's broken down into pretty recognizable segments by repetitions of certain key phrases. And so we're going to pause between the segments, but I'd invite you to join me in reading this and with the psalmist being reminded of how lavishly kind God has been to us and is being to us. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And gathered out of the world. What does it mean that we have been redeemed from the adversary? Delivered from the enemy that was far more powerful than we are. The destroyer, the liar, the prince of the powers of darkness, the prince of evil, the accuser of God's people, whose only purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. That's the only intention the enemy has toward us is to steal, kill, and destroy. We in Christ Jesus have been delivered from that enemy. He roars, but he can do nothing substantial to harm us any longer. How awesome is that? The teeth have been removed from this roaring lion. He can accuse us all he wants before holy God, but because Jesus took our sin upon himself, there is nothing that will stick. We have been rescued. We have been justified. We have been forgiven. And what does it mean that we were delivered out of the world? This world is a sinking ship. It's going down, and we've been plucked off the deck. This world is a stampede of lemmings headed toward the cliff, rushing over the precipice. We have been delivered from that throng heading toward destruction. How good God has been. How thankful we need to be. Let's go to the next section. They wandered in desert wastelands. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them straightaway to community for their habitation. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and for his wonderful deeds to humanity, for he satisfies the thirsty soul. Delivered from futility, where what we do will never accomplish anything substantial or meaningful. Vanity, vanity. Vapor, vapor. Emptiness, emptiness. You wash your car, it gets dirty again the next day. It rains. That's the nature of life. We've been delivered from futility. We've been brought into a life where it has purpose and meaning. We've been delivered from isolation to community. Sin caused us all to be ashamed, to see ourselves as undone, as naked, if you will, and to put on masks. We couldn't face ourselves, much less show ourselves to others. We tried to hide, tried to cover our sinfulness, tried to hide our defects, what was wrong. And so even though we'd have associations, we would really, in our heart of hearts, be in isolation, fearful of what people would think or say or do if they knew us as we really are. God has delivered us from that. He's given us a covering that really does deal with our problem. We can come out in the light, and he's knit us together as a family, as a community. What a wonderful gift that is. Healthy relationships where we can be connected with one another like Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are. What a gift that is. Delivered from emptiness of soul to satisfaction of soul. Delivered to being filled with the living water that quenches our thirst. The bread of heaven that is so enjoyable and satisfying. Let's go to the next section. They dwelt in darkness and in the shadow of death. Because they rebelled against the words of God. So he humbled their heart with trouble. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and broke their chains apart. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and for his wonderful deeds to humanity. For he has shattered prison gates of bronze. Delivered from spiritual blindness, where we didn't get it, we didn't see, we were deceived. Delivered us to where we know, where we see the truth. We see what is real. Delivered from bondage to sin. delivered from bondage to misery, delivered from bondage to condemnation that we deserved and the damnation that it will obtain for us, delivered to righteousness, to joy, to peace, to divine favor forever that never fluctuates. But once it is placed upon us and we are its objects, it is there unwaveringly. Oh, be thankful, people, be thankful. Let's go to the next section. They became fools through their rebellious ways. Their souls could find no satisfaction. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He sent his word and healed them. He rescued them from the pit. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and for his wonderful deeds to humanity. Let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving. Delivered from chronically making foolish and sinful choices and receiving their self-destructive consequences. Delivered from pain and despair that takes all the joy out of life. God has done that for us in Christ Jesus. Let's go to the next one. Those going out to sea in ships, they've seen the works of the Lord. For he spoke and stirred up a tempest that lifted high the waves. They reeled and staggered like a drunkard, and all their skill was useless. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper and hushed the waves of the sea. And he brought them to their desired haven. What dangers? I'm sorry. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and for his wonderful deeds to humanity. Let them extol him in the congregation of the people. Amen. That worked out well. Michael was the one who looked out of place, but it was really me. Thank you. But think of all the dangers that we've been delivered from when you were terrified of circumstances that were upon you or that were threatening, and how God preserved you. He spared your life. He brought you through. Think of all the fears that have never materialized. How good God has been to us in Christ. And then, I believe this is the last section, he's turned rivers into a desert. A fruitful land into a salty waste. He has turned deserts into pools of water, providing a habitation for the hungry. By his blessing, they thrive and he sustains their herds. He pours contempt on the oppressors, consigning them to wander in a trackless wasteland, and makes their families flourish like flocks. And all the wicked will be silenced. Let the one who is wise give heed to these things and ponder the loving kindnesses of the Lord. Oh, what recipients we are of undeserved lavish loving kindnesses from God, spared of his just wrath upon our sin and given what we absolutely do not deserve. How enthusiastically, continually, we should be giving thanks to him, recognizing our good estate, how good he is, how secure we are in his goodness.
We are going to close our time this morning with another worship song. Let's stand and join together and sing. How deep the Father's love for us.
How's your heart this morning? Thankfulness is an indicator of our heart health, but it's also an expression. So let us ask the Lord as we go forth this Thanksgiving week especially to open our eyes to see what is good, to see his goodness in our lives, and then let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let us say, this is good. Thank you, giver. Thank you, almighty giver, for all this that is good. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you, be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you, give you peace. Go and serve him in peace. Happy Thanksgiving.